All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude in that suit.
And you too, brother.
All right, coming up, we'll tell you if the team should still want to trade for Antonio Brown now that he wants out.
And if James Harden and Russell Westbrook's recent hot streaks are really that impressive. Yes, they are, Michael Jordan. But we start every day with a Whitlock. What you got today, big dog?
Oh, man. Yesterday, Marcellus, a young woman with a small Twitter following made the mistake with tweeting out that she thought Colin Kaepernick should be playing in the Alliance of American Football if he was indeed serious about his football career. The young woman was quickly and viciously shouted down. Bleacher Report social justice warrior Mike Freeman fired a bat signal to woke Twitter, and soon the Kaepernicks jumped into action. The feed Resist Programming began harassing the woman and her employer over old sports tweets that didn't coincide with a woke point of view. Grammatically challenged blogger Robert Littell celebrated the harassment with a post detailing the wrongness of the woman's opinion. The woman eventually deleted the tweets. Justice. The symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick is once again safe from the Twitter opinion that he should actually play football to prove he actually is interested in playing football. Or is he free? Doug Farrar at USA Today wrote an interesting piece last week arguing that the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick could be the diamond and pearls of the Alliance American Football. Farrar wrote that if the symbol played well in the AAF, it would greatly strengthen the symbol's collusion argument against the NFL. Farrar concluded his piece with these words: "It's time for the drama of Colin Kaepernick versus the NFL to come to a head, and the AAF could be the perfect vehicle for that." I agree with Farrar. The symbol, formerly known as Colin Kaepernick, would be ratings gold for the AAF. According to the Kaepernicks, the symbol has kept himself in immaculate shape and is football ready. It would make sense for the AAF to pay the symbol $2 or $3 million to play the last three or four games of the season. Who wouldn't watch that? Doves would cry. Let's go crazy. Football fans would be delirious and party like it's 1999. It would be an insatiable showcase for the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick. Prince has a song about control that explains why this will never happen, but this is a family program and I can't use the title of the song here. Let's just say the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick won't be playing in the AAF because he and his handlers have no real interest in football. The interest is in protecting Kaepernick as a symbol, a brand. Backup NFL quarterbacks don't get Nike commercials. No matter how big the afro, the starting quarterback on a bad NFL team isn't a martyr or a symbol of oppression. Cap and the Revolution don't care about football. They're about that pop culture life where everybody gets to be on top, even if their playing career flopped. All right, joining the desk now, former Pro Bowler receiver T.J. Housmanzada and Los Angeles Times NFL writer Sam Farmer. All right, Marcellus, I'll start with you. Should Kaepernick play in the AAF?
No. Don't fall for the okey-doke if you're Kaepernick. Let's just be real about this. Kaepernick shouldn't go out there in a resume-building effort and play in the AAF, which is just a league of number twos, as they even proclaim this themselves, to say that I'm ready for the big leagues. Because Kaepernick is not in the NFL because of outside issues, noise, package, not just production. If you want to stick to just his individual production, last seen on the NFL football field, 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. If you want to stick to team production, then you got an issue with Kaepernick because they only won 3 ball games in his last 2 years. But if you're trying to sell me to go to the junior varsity to say that I'm ready for the big dogs, when I've already shown that I'm ready for the big dogs. Don't forget I've been in the Super Bowl, 2 NFC championship games. Let's not get deluded into what this is. I'm not gonna help the NFL generate ratings because the games are on NFL Network. I'm not gonna help you. I see how that went. That's what
you How about helping your bank account?
Helping my bank account? Well, you just said I'm a symbol. And you know what's the evolution of being an athlete on the field? Creating a logo, a brand, a symbol of yourself. Air Jordan. I just wore some today. When you don't even have to go hand and foot, you don't even have to dance anymore, play anymore, do anything anymore, and it sells itself. So if you're telling me a consolation of going to the junior varsity, it's not going to work. Case in point. I lived through this experience. I went to a small school. I went to an Ivy League school. I knew that there were going to be sacrifices made. And it hurt me in my draft status. Every evaluator came to me and said, you look amazing. Your measurables are top two, top three in this class. However, who are you playing against? I know how we'll move the question to something else once he goes out there and dominates the twos, just like he played well against the ones. So let's not delude ourselves in thinking this is a resume building effort. Kaepernick, stay still. Don't go there because it won't help you.
I agree with you. I'm not planning this. And the reason is this. He wants to play in the NFL. When everybody knows this, you go to an upstart league, which is the AAF, defenses are always ahead of the offenses by far. He's going to have no protection. He's going to be under duress every pass play, every game. He's not going to have the type of receivers that he's used to playing with. And you're talking about, okay, go pad your bank account. They've already said every player is under the same contract, 3 years, $250,000. Would they make a change for him?
Yes.
It's
TV networks are about ratings. And that dude would be ratings gold. They would pay the price.
In this situation, would be setting him up to fail. Every defense, when you go to training camp, the defense is always ahead of the offense. You watch these games, the defenses are by far, they're ahead of the offense. This is setting him up to fail. I wouldn't do it at all.
But if he's good enough, he's going to shine. I think it strengthens the collusion case because, look, if he tears it up, we know that there are going to be free agents signed out of this league to play in the league. And if he tears it up, he's strengthening the case that, hey, I was good enough to do this, destroy it in this league. I'm certainly good enough to play in the NFL.
How does that strengthen your
case?
His case
should already be strengthened.
Let's keep it linear and focused. He is not in the NFL, and it's not because of a production issue. It's because of other issues, ancillary issues, whatever you want to name them and label them. How am I going to go somewhere now and show strict production, and then that's going to be what elevates me somewhere?
At some point, Marcellus, people have reached the conclusion that I've reached. He doesn't want to play football.
Well, you can test that by actually bringing him in on your roster.
They've tried, Marcellus, but again, Seattle, others, he's been offered contracts that he felt didn't meet his salary demand.
Right, but that doesn't answer the question, does he want to play football?
Baltimore tried to sign him. Him and his girl went off the rails. Again, there are people that believe he doesn't.
What imperfect. You just answered what I said. So don't go somewhere and show them production because that's not your issue. It's you and your girl be on the rails.
Show them you want to play and you still can play. Because
at the core of the collusion case is I want to play football. And so I have a burning desire and being denied this opportunity.
NFL football. You've been there, Sam, and you covered the NFL. You've been around the game longer than us. You can dominate in practice. Dominate the scout team. I've been there. When coaches look at you like,
You dominate the scout team. You swear up and, man, I should be playing, I'm killing them in practice.
And coach look at you like, do you understand the business of football? We are not putting you in there just because you're dominating practice.
So you're acting like basically, nobody there out of the AAF is going to get signed into the NFL.
Oh, they certainly will, but they don't have the package that Colin Kaepernick has.
Which package?
Issues that surround him. You talk about his girl. Why did he lose his Baltimore opportunity? It wasn't because of production.
Again, there are people like me and other rational people that are convinced he doesn't want to play in the NFL or anywhere. He's happy being a martyr and a symbol.
He wants to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to play in the AAF, and I agree. He does not.
What's your proof that he wants to play in the NFL?
Nobody.
There's some things that I want, things you wanted, your wife, your kid. There's some sacrifices you made to get him. What sacrifices is he willing to make?
What athlete is working out as hard as he is, as much as he is, that doesn't want to play?
Have you watched the workouts?
I see.
Again, that's why I want to see some proof, not no 30-second Twitter clip.
Honest question, is there an expiration date on that package that he's off? It's been, 2 years?
It's expired.
Expired?
Eric Reed being on the team may undermine the collusion case, obviously. That looks against Colin Kaepernick.
But in terms of his talent, what's the expiration date? I mean, if he's been out of the league 2 years.
Oh, quarterbacks are playing into their 40s now, so we're going to have to extend that and prolong that. Here's the thing. Jason, you used to be at a different network. I used to be at a different network. When I left the game of football, don't talk to me about CFL or anything else. I'm going somewhere else. When I left ESPN, I landed in Fox. I left to go to Fox. If you would have said public access, I'm not doing it. You wouldn't have done it. Why would Colin Kaepernick sit there and say, I want to do something less?
Marcellus, you got me completely.
Well, I got me right.
You got me. I understand that.
I'll tell you that.
Because I'm going to just tell you, one of our biggest issues, I'm talking about us as black, we let pride stand in the way of doing a lot of times.
Standard is not the same as pride. No. That's my standard, bro.
Again, we let pride stand in the way a lot of times of doing what's necessary. And again, if he's off on some pride, I'm too good to play in the AAF, that's another thing. The NFL is for desperate people.
But look, Jason, when you've
had... Football is for the desperate. The more desperate you are, the better player you are. That's just fact. There's a reason why an Ivy League guy didn't have the passion of a Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
I got options.
Thank you.
I wouldn't run through those walls. It's for the right.
He's not desperate.
And you just made
he's
another
not
point
committed.
For it. Look, when Kaepernick has options. You putting a negative connotation to a symbol. That's the goal, brother. Don't you?
No, it's not.
What? Are you kidding?
I never woke up a day in my life wanting to be a symbol, and I know very few people that have, and those that do, I don't have a lot of respect for.
You don't have any respect for Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan didn't wake up. Michael Jordan put together an incredible basketball career. And becoming a symbol was a benefit after the fact from his greatness.
Unfortunately,
that was not a goal.
Unfortunately, this may be after the fact for Colin Kaepernick. And some of it's by his doing. Some of it is outside of his hands. So that's the whole point. You're trying to make it seem like his backup plan is negative. His backup plan is saying, look, if you don't give me what I want of standard, then I'm going to take my backup plan, which is still making money, doing what he has to do without hitting one individual on the football field. And
I would just like for him to admit that. I'd love to hear him say
when you've had his type of success, when you've had his type of success in the NFL, going to play in the AAF, you're not going to do it.
You're exaggerating his type of success.
What?
You're exaggerating.
I'm glad you said that.
Get him.
So since 2012, he has more playoff wins than Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, more playoff wins, and he hasn't played in the last 2 years.
You're exaggerating.
That's a fact.
I get that. You can make numbers say damn near anything. He's not Drew Brees. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. He ain't on their level. And don't kid yourself.
He's not on that level, but he's had great success in the NFL. So you can't tell somebody that's taking his team to the Super Bowl.
T.O. is in the Hall of Fame and damn near went and played in the CFL. Thought about it seriously. People that actually want to play football, go play football.
Did he do it?
He's in his 40s.
He's
in his 40s.
It's a yes or no world.
Johnny Manziel won the damn Heisman Trophy and is up in
But he had no options.
And again, in terms of football, people that want to play football, Marcellus. They don't sit around and satisfy themselves being a tweet or being some Twitter brand. Again, that's some real low-hanging fruit being a symbol.
Now, Jason, he wants to play football, but he wants to play football at the highest level and be compensated at the highest level as well. All that goes hand in hand.
There's a path to it.
All that goes hand in hand.
And he created a path where he might need to go play in a league below the NFL. And we're talking about for 3 or 4 games. He put together 3 or 4 games in the AAF. Trust me, he would be back in the NFL.
Hold on. Yes, listen to what you just said. Yeah. He puts together 3 great games in AAF. Trust me, he'll be in the NFL.
Yeah, he would.
Boy, stop. Ain't nobody giving him an opportunity because of production. He'd go out there and throw 38 touchdowns.
Am I right or wrong?
No, I agree. I think he's back in the league. We've seen so many guys get back in the league.
I'm sorry. I love you too much, Sam Farmer. You're my guy. You know that. Look at the quarterbacks in this league. Who are they?
Exactly.
Blake Bortles.
Zach Mettenberger, Aaron Murray, Christian Hackenberger. They gonna
Nathan
light it
Peterman.
Up in the league.
Hey, TJ, let me break some news to you. You know who Chad Johnson is? 100. He had a better career than Colin Kaepernick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He played in the CFL. So, again, people that want to play football actually go play football.
But, Jason, nah.
You got it that wrong. Kill him. That wasn't analogous. Chad ran out of NFL football. And he wanted to play football.
Chad played 11 years.
Chad, when he left the game, was the ashes remaining of Chad Ochocinco as a player. Colin Kaepernick, as a player, forget everything else around him.
Different parts of their career.
Different parts. Still got game left.
Let me be clear. In my view, Chad Johnson right now, out of the league 5 years, still a better football player than Colin Kaepernick. Still a better wide
receiver. How do you know that? You haven't seen anything but 20-minute Twitter
clips.
That's
my opinion.
Oh, really?
That's my opinion. Like, everybody else has the opinion that a guy that got beat out by Blaine Gabbert is somehow the answer.
And got the job back, too. And went 16-4, touchdown interception ratio. You're going to ignore that? Those are facts. This is not opinion. This is facts. You're going to say that that's a bad attempt at saying that you are NFL worthy, NFL deserving? 16-4 in the downslope, quote unquote, of your career. 16-4.
Hey, look, man.
I also think, a team that's going to win three games, they're going to change their quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like he far exceeded, Blake Bortles.
No. Or Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, rather.
Yeah, you win three games. That's a worst. You tend to lose your job.
Yeah.
Look, man, this is just crystal clear. It's like a woman sitting
Uh-oh,
there saying,
here we go.
It's like, no, seriously, like some guy telling a woman, hey, baby, I really, really want to marry you, but I'm not willing to take you out on a date. Come on, man. Mm. This guy does not want to play football.
Yeah, but she don't want to go to Sizzlers.
He's perfectly.
The Sizzlers. All you can eat shrimp. Second batch, salty. Third batch, itty bitty shrimp. Don't take me on no date. I'm not good. I'm good. Take me to Morton's. Take me to Astros, or we ain't going out.
Marcellus, I know your opinion.
You know I was.
Because you already said it. You've already said it. I know your opinion.
All right, what?
He's more happy being a symbol than he is a football player.
At this point in time, he knows he's not playing in NFL.
No, don't dodge. He's more happy being a symbol than a football player.
We don't know this. Number one, he hasn't
I know it
spoken.
By his actions. I judge people by their actions.
I'm not playing in the AAF. I'm not playing in that.
Nah.
Now, why had one team just bring him in? Just sign him. Even if you
they've tried.
Who?
He's got this standard that Marcellus and he's, oh, they're not paying enough. Oh, I need to be guaranteed a starting quarterback position.
What?
He's never said he had to be guaranteed.
He hasn't said anything. His actions keep speaking for him.
But privately, he's
I know
had
no one wants to judge him
he's
by his actions.
He's had conversations with these front office people privately to what his expectations are.
I know.
Whitlock, you don't have a contract here? It's not of standard? It's not an expectation.
Don't compare me to Colin Kaepernick. Honestly,
you're in a better stage of your career.
I put a Hall of Fame journalism career together.
Respect.
Colin Kaepernick.
And you weren't taking anything,
Kaepernick
right?
Can't get a whip. Look, man, you would be blown away by what I'm willing to do, what I'm passionate about. I'm one of the greatest sports journalists ever. I wrote a blog called, I can't even remember the name of it, but I was a blogger for like a year on my own.
You would go back to blogging if this failed?
Yes, I love.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good.
I just do.
But this is the thing, okay. Though, Jason.
Marcellus.
I believe
I'm right for the Wall Street Journal.
That ain't a blog.
But Jason,
for nothing. Just because it's my
Jason,
passion.
But this is the thing, though.
Facts.
It's just what you said. You have a passion for journalism. And you brought up Chad earlier. Chad has a passion for football. Colin Kaepernick has a passion for football, but it's not at that same type of level that you have for journalism, and it's
and
not
that's
at the same.
Why
so can you fault teams? Can you fault teams then for passing on him if they don't feel he has that passion?
But Sam, everybody knows it's not the reason he's not on the team
you.
Is because of what he did. Okey everybody
doke.
Knows that,
okey-doke.
And so his passion might not be where yours is. But he still has a passion. It's just a different type and a different level of passion.
You brought a pro football focus yesterday.
There's not a coach in the world that wants to bring in a quarterback or any high-level, attention-getting player that they don't feel like has a real... Either their talent has to be through the roof or their passion does. One or the other. His talent's not through the roof, and his passion
is. It's a balancing act. Don't do that. Is he one of the 64 to 96 ranked quarterbacks in our league?
Well, no question, Marcellus.
Well, then that's why he ain't in the AAF. Because the ones who are in AAF are 97 only.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, we're usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself. Particularly when I was younger and playing football, I can remember hurting my shoulder and never telling the trainers. That turned into a real problem. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/speak, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. That's GetRoman.com/speak. Guys, Go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/speak. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/speak. Time for a big story sponsored by Volvo. Boom. And the all-new S60. Follow no one. All right, let's move to Antonio Brown, who has been making a lot of headlines since the Steelers season ended, including last week when a report dropped that Brown was involved in a domestic dispute back in January. Despite the report and a season's worth of drama, the Steelers have tried to leave the door open for Brown to come back next season. But Brown might have just slammed it shut, tweeting, quote, "Thank you, Steelers Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Peace sign, hashtag new demands." Mm. So clearly, Adam Schefter's report, others have reported he has asked the Steelers to trade him. If I'm a playoff contending team, I do not trade for Antonio Brown. Diva wide receivers just don't win championships. And, you know, this Steelers organization has bent over backwards for Antonio Brown for 9 years, and this is how he does them? No dice for me.
I would take a chance, if even that's saying take a chance on this guy who still has more talent than the noise that is going to accompany him to your roster. I remember in the old sports culture when coaches actually had to coach more than just X's and O's, but personalities, and manage the locker room. And there were times where, look at the Jimmy Johnson dynastic Dallas Cowboys, where look at those personalities. We could go as recent as Pete Carroll, one play away from really having a dynasty. And look at those personalities. And now we're in a place where we can't expect that our coaches can manage more than just scheme. Like, you don't need perfect people or perfect players, as Belichick has shown, to have something successful. So I'm going to put the onus on coaches. If you shy away from Antonio Brown and all that production, maybe that's telling me something about you, because I don't want a locker room full of choir boys. And if this guy is coming into your team with that level of production, find a way to get some of that in the right direction. If not, I'm looking at you like you're an issue.
You know, most productive receiver in the last 5 years, no question. Talent-wise, he's off the charts. I talked to some folks in the Steelers organization today about this. They were caught completely flat-footed. Here's a guy under contract tweeting this. What message does that send out to future general managers? And he doesn't have a nobody throwing him the ball. I mean, you listed all the sort of schlub quarterbacks in the league right now. Hmm. If he goes to another place and, doesn't have a guy who's getting him the ball like Ben has gotten him the ball, he's not as dynamic a receiver. And so I would be wary about what this guy would cost and what he would bring and what message that sends to the organization.
It's going to have to be the right fit. If you're a playoff contending team and you got a strong locker room, you got great leaders, you got a strong head coach, then you take a chance on them. To go off what you just said, Sam, if you're in the front office and you caught off guard by this, where you been? He's basically hinted that he's wanted out. They have, if I'm Antonio Brown, I try to make this work, because I didn't leave Cincinnati like this, but when I left, you almost is like you had a wife and you got a divorce and you got a new girlfriend, and you like, man, I want my wife back.
Mm.
And it's too late. You can't get her. She gone.
Mm.
You need to make this work. Will it work? Tomlin, Roethlisberger. But if you look at it this way, getting rid of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, does it kind of give Tomlin that voice now back in the locker room where he's like,
just to clarify, they weren't completely caught off guard with this. I mean, if you look at the last 6 months and the number of incidents with Antonio Brown, it's been sort of a reckless 6 months. But the fact that he just decided to wake up and wanted to tweet this, they were caught off guard by that.
Yeah, 2 days before Valentine's Day. Like, I mean, who wakes up February 12th like, you know what I'm about to do? Blow up the spot. I don't know what happened behind the scenes. We all know. Let's just call it like it is. Him and Roethlisberger are not cool to a level where he feels comfortable. If that's the situation, your quarterback, you're dependent on him. Imagine if you have to tap dance around a guy that you know that doesn't really like you, and that guy really dictates a lot of your career. I would bet on me. If we come to that point, I would bet on me to go somewhere else, Get some fresh air, a different system, another quarterback, and build a relationship than try to fix a damaged one.
If I'm Ben Roethlisberger, I go, hey, man, Santonio Holmes, I think we have Plaxico Burress. I think we now have Juju Smith-Schuster. I have a history of turning receivers into stars.
You're right, but not like this.
No, I get it. I get it. But again, and Marcellus, I'm not remotely, and look, I've had my problems with Mike Tomlin, but Antonio Brown is not a Mike Tomlin problem. Antonio Brown is an Antonio Brown problem.
But you know what, Jason?
You go read Jesse Washington's story in the Undefeated, put it out a year ago, about just all the relationship problems Antonio Brown has. Antonio Brown, based off the reporting, based off what we've seen, he's not all there. He's a different case. This money has completely turned him out. And if I'm the Steelers, or if I'm the Los Angeles Rams, or if I'm any other team that thinks, oh, I'm a receiver away, not Antonio Brown.
I don't like that conversation. And I respect that's what Ben Roethlisberger would say. But then there's a little of abuse of power coming out of just having that conversation with Ben Roethlisberger. Look what I do to all these guys. Fall in line.
So it goes hand in hand,
right,
though.
But look, Antonio is an issue. We know that. But is it to a degree where you don't want that on your roster? Ben Roethlisberger is an issue.
He's a big issue.
The man just tweeted out that I want to be traded. Just tweeted. Gave him a huge contract a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. This is not how you operate as an organization. So Antonio Brown is the problem. Period.
The only problem or the biggest problem?
As it relates to this. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger is a problem, and we've gone over it. He's a knucklehead and a bad leader. Mm. But in this scenario, this is AB, man. This kid is completely different than the kid that entered the league. We've heard it from Bruce Arians. We've heard it from anybody around the Steelers organization, man. I say it all the time, football and the NFL, it's just a TV show.
Yeah.
This is a child star gone wild. He's Todd Bridges.
A couple things. He probably sent this tweet out. The combine is coming in a couple weeks, so start to formulate your plan. Mm. But when J.J. Watt has a brother on the team and he says what he says, it's pretty bad there. We're not getting half of what's going on. We're only getting bits and pieces of this.
Whitlock and Wiley, we're joined now by NBA champion Donte Jones. Let's move to the NBA, where James Harden continued his historic 30-point game streak last night, and it went over Dallas. Harden's streak is now up to 30 games, just one behind Wilt Chamberlain for the second longest ever. But he's not the only guy who's hot right now. Russell Westbrook set a record of his own last night, passing Chamberlain with his 10th straight triple-double. Another guy who's no stranger to records, Michael Jordan, was asked which streak was tougher to achieve.
Which is harder from a player standpoint? 6 championships, by all means.
the humble giant himself, huh?
Drop the mic! Yeah. Look, I agree with Michael. Yeah. And I think Michael is dismissive of both streaks. Mm. These guys out here stat chasing and celebrating their stats. Mm. And, you know, it doesn't have a lot to do with winning, I think, is Michael's point.
Ooh, well, let's not be technical, but Michael, you didn't win 6 in a row either. You know what I'm saying? 3, quit, 3. I mean, I'm going to go there. Ooh, headlines. I'm impressed by this. I don't understand why we're not impressed by this. Remember in yesteryear when these streaks were actually created and these current streaks haven't even broke the streaks of yesterday. Wilt Chamberlain, 65 games in a row, 30-plus points. And that was with, stricter rules, no rules, and milkman competition at times. So if we were impressed by that, how come we're not impressed by this? Yeah, there have been some rule changes to allow this, but they still haven't even broken the streaks of yesterday, which we were impressed by. So strictly going by the logic, you got to be impressed by these two guys, what they're doing. And no one rolls out of bed and has this level of success in any pro sport unless they out there balling and getting it. And everyone else is playing under the same rules, but they're not having that type of success.
Wilt played in a smaller NBA.
Yeah, true.
The talent was more concentrated. But go ahead, Donte.
I'm impressed by Russ's set of 10 games because they're 9-1 over this 10 games where he's had a triple-double. And
oh,
a triple-double.
So you're really impressed with Paul George then, but go ahead.
right. PG.
I am impressed with PG because it's turning into winning. Yeah. Like, his streak is turning into
Paul George's, of great
play. Yes, winning. But Russ had to take something off and help him be the Paul George that he is. Paul is not doing it by himself. Mm. Paul has gotten better, but Paul is still a reflection of Russ because Russ is helping that team better. He's not the only person with success this year. There are players on their team that are having better years because of Russ taking a step back and being a facilitator. Yes, I'm impressed with Russ's set. James Harden is according to the rules of the game right now. He's a great talent in our game, and he's having a great season. Mm-hmm. He's a great scorer. But if Michael Jordan played under these rules, we would have a different set of streaks going on because he's the ultimate scorer that we've ever had.
I like your point that, and I'll put a little twist on your point about Russ and Paul George. If this is what it takes for Russ to defer to Paul George a little bit on the offensive end, if Russ can say, you know, I'm going to satisfy myself with triple-doubles and I'm going to let Paul George be the alpha on offense, I like it because it is leading to winning. And so I guess if I had to choose between the two, I would go that route. But I just want to show this stat about this historic NBA season and what the rules have done. In terms of points per game, the most since 84-85. Three-point attempts per game, the most ever. Triple-doubles, 118 through this point in the season. That's the most ever. On pace for the most ever. The league's rules, man, have made all of this a possibility.
The league's rules in NFL has made the numbers.
We're talking NBA.
Yeah. Right. But you are a Patrick Mahomes fan. Where's the headband? Where's the headband, Mr. Mahomes?
Again, I'm fully aware that Mahomes and all these guys have been benefiting to.
You like it there. You don't like it. What's good for the goose ain't good for the gander.
But according to your stats, yes, scoring is up because of the rule changes and because of the contact allowed. However, triple-doubles is up, but Russ has a quarter of the triple-doubles.
Right.
He has one-fourth of the entire league's triple-doubles.
And let's not go with scoring.
That is impressive. Like,
he's focused on that.
But
he's
focused.
Going out every night, I'm going to get a triple-double.
But it's not that easy to focus on a triple-double because everybody would be doing it. Like, it is extremely hard to dominate in three statistical categories. And when you're getting double figures in those categories, that means you're dominating. Like when somebody gets a double-double, before Russ started doing this for three seasons, double-doubles were like, oh my God, you average a double-double, you're getting paid.
Yeah.
This man is doing it in another category. You have to concentrate and you have to play extremely hard. It's effort to do what he's doing.
But don't dismiss what James Harden is doing as well. You try to make a...
He's doing what he's always done, score.
Okay, but they're also winning as he's scoring. They were 7-3 in their last 10. So 9-1 for OKC, 7-3 for Houston.
Which one would you rather have?
Look, of course I'll take... Well, I'd rather be the Houston Rockets because they have went farther as this team is constructed than what we've seen from OKC so far. I will say this. The cumulative effort of scoring is why you see the numbers increase. True. It's because this fifth guy, this seventh guy is getting 2-3 more points a game because there are more possessions, because the pace of play is faster. So listen, at the top, they're not averaging more than Michael Jordan did and what Kobe did. Those guys are averaging 36 in years. Like, at the top, it's still around the same world. But in the meat of the NBA where the competition has risen, that's where you're starting to see more production.
You have two guys that are dominating, and you have two guys that put on spectacular performances. You can't take anything away from them. James is doing a great job as a scorer, leading his team in that capacity. But it's hard to dominate in three categories over a season.
February isn't just about one supersized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, offseason, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yes, that's a real sport. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify, because the best offense is a good podcast. TJ Houspenzada is back with us. Time for my favorite segment.
What's that?
antisocial.
Long hair don't care, huh?
That town? Come on now.
Social media manager Darnell Smith.
I
representing
Harley Holmes
in Indianapolis.
That's clean. Always rubbing. Thank you.
That's
man.
Nice.
That is.
Darnell, what's popping on the Twitter streets?
Yes, sir. We're gonna start off with my weight room partner, Ole Miss wide receiver and top NFL draft prospect DK Metcalf. Has been going viral after this Hulk-like picture of him hit the internet. Mm. I mean, the guy looks like he's playing DN instead of wide receiver.
Oh!
And social media has been going in on this guy, even comparing him to NFL ex-receiver David Boston. Mm. We all remember how that ended. Mm. Marcellus, yes. Do you miss tackling guys like this?
Hell no. I played with David Boston. Quick stories. All right, he came out to training camp 1 year. Coach said, how much you weigh? He was like, I don't know, coach. He said, go in there and find out. Came back out, 262. Coach said, you ain't playing until you lose some weight. You too big. His arms look like our thighs, dog. He looked DN massive. Used to take 108 pills and 2 IVs every lunch.
What?
I don't know what those pills were.
Right, exactly.
262 worth, man. David Boston was a monster. This kid will be available, they say, maybe with Dallas's pick. Please get him, Dallas. That would be sick.
Listen, TJ, you the wide receiver. You go. Can he play wide receiver?
No. I'm going to tell you what. All that muscles, that's just show muscles. Mm. You got to be able to move and get in and out your breaks and create separation. It looked good.
It worked in college. It worked in college.
What'd you say?
Real.
It worked in college.
College.
Like, Marvin Lewis, I wasn't big at all. I came in the league, I was like 220 when Marvin Lewis got there. Mm. He was like, you need to get under 205. I was like, all right. Mm. He was like, I don't care how big you are, you need to be able to separate. I'll never forget that.
Speed
you got to separate. Guys small will put hands on him.
Yes.
You know what I want to see? I want to see his legs. Because if he only weighs 225, he's carrying 200 of it up here. Yeah. He's on stilts.
Right. That's right. An offensive PI waiting to happen.
Right. But damn, up, he was big, that? Though.
Right.
All right, moving on to the NBA. Where last night, a Detroit Pistons extreme team member put together a very creative proposal during halftime of the game. This guy pulled out all the moves to impress his girlfriend, who also happens to be a member of the Pistons dance squad. The fans seem to be into it, but I'm not too sure about it. I mean, luckily for him, she said yes. But do y'all think this was romantic, or was he doing too much?
I think he puts her in a choice where she has no choice but to say yes.
Right.
You can't embarrass. Yeah. So I never know what's the agenda with these deals. Like, I'm gonna do it out in public.
She ain't got no choice.
Right.
Enough pressure just getting engaged. Now you're gonna put her in an impossible position. She has to say yes. And it also tells me your relationship already started off getting attention. Like, I don't want my relationship built on the outside's reception. It's about what we felt in that moment. So I don't
Man, he was unsure. You do that publicly, he was unsure. He was like, she for sure gonna say yes, I do this at the game. She has no choice.
That's true.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, staying on the hardwood, where Mark Gasol's first home game as a member of the Toronto Raptors got off to a funny start. Gasol looked really confused during Kyle Lowry's elaborate pregame ritual. Apparently, no one gave him the heads up. What he was supposed to be doing? Y'all know Twitter was having way too much fun with this, making fun of Gasol for having no idea what was going on. Looking very confused in the whole situation.
I love that little girl.
What would y'all have done if you were in this situation?
What he did?
All right.
I'm 7 feet. I ain't going down there.
Afterwards,
like,
bro, when was y'all going to fill me in that this is the routine?
Right. I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the NBA that you can do all that in the pregame. Mm. What is that? So
a little core workout, little Pilates in the beginning.
Marc Gasol's like, right. Man, I'm too old for this.
For real. Like,
what is he doing? Helping them up? Like, they work out, he helps them up off the ground?
Dog, we ain't ever think about it like this. They did tell Gasol he playing dumb because he's like, I ain't getting down there, dog.
Right.
I forgot what I was supposed to do in that moment. Look, Gasol too veteran for that.
It's like me, I get down there, how am I going to get up?
Right.
Got to rock.
Get that.
For real.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, so yesterday on The Herd, Colin was talking about how it was a smart decision for Kyler Murray to enter the NFL draft and actually thinks he might get drafted in the first round. Take a listen.
I think if I was the Buccaneers at 5, I would consider drafting him. If I was the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7, I think I would draft him. I think I would draft him. I'm not joking. John Gruden, by the way, said he loves him. Raiders have the 4th pick.
Y'all agree with Colin here?
No. Again, I'm not big on small quarterbacks, so I wouldn't be taking this dude high in the draft. There was speculation about the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury, and the Cardinals ownership has now come out, or team president Michael Bidwell, and said they're all in on Josh Rosen, and so it's not going to be the Arizona Cardinals, but right. I think I said this yesterday. I'm just leery short quarterbacks in a league of giants. I don't know.
Look, in college, they don't change in size. They change in speed, anticipation. He's blurry when he gets out the pocket, and he has presence, and he's able to navigate in the pocket. So I'm not as scared of him playing a pro quarterback. But those teams, I don't agree with those teams. Jacksonville maybe, but certainly not a Arizona, certainly not a situation where you have someone there that you could work out. Tampa Bay, no for me either.
I like the Jacksonville. I'm drafting him in the first round. Yeah. I like him.
Really?
He played well in college. It's going to put an offense around him that suits him. Keep him in the shotgun. You got a great defense in Jacksonville. You want to run the ball with Tom Coughlin. Perfect, perfect,
CJ,
perfect
here's
fit.
Here's my issue with small quarterbacks. I think it works in college to a high level because the good receivers get a lot of separation. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma gets talented guys, and you're throwing into big windows. I think when you're throwing into them small NFL windows, I think vision and height play a bigger role.
But if you keep them in the shotgun, it will be very similar to what – all I looked at is Baker Mayfield played in this offense for 3 years. Kyler Murray played in one. That 1 year was better than any year Baker Mayfield had, and he was the first pick.
Yeah. Okay, but there's also the theory about NFL quarterbacks, the ones that have success, are the guys that are 3 and 4 year starters in college. That was one of the big knocks. Pete Carroll was arguing with Mark Sanchez about why to stay is you play 3 or 4 years in college, it translates to the NFL. Mm. The more experience. That's why I don't like it. All right, Darnell, time for Darnell's question of the day. Take it over.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy.
My question of the day.
My guy.
My question.
Question
of the day.
285 pounds.
All right. So this question today actually came from one of my best friends, Julian Jackson. It's
That's who that was.
Yeah, Jujack.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to my guy. So Twitter handle @Jujack_92. And with it being Black History Month, he wants to know what moment or event or even athlete had the greatest influence on you in terms of Black history?
It would be my father in combination with the autobiography of Malcolm X. My father actually quit his job at Chrysler because his supervisor complained about him reading the autobiography of Malcolm X on his lunch break. And my father, the hell with that. And then that, my father telling me that story when I was a kid made me go read the autobiography of Malcolm X. I've probably read the book 6 times in my life. It's the greatest book I've ever read. And in terms of just philosophy and just journey and all that. So I guess when I think of Black History Month, the autobiography of Malcolm X is probably the first thing I think about.
Yeah, I think it's my mother's sacrifice of not only having a two-parent home, but her sacrifice 17 years young and 19 years young, having my sister and myself, and turning her focus inward. She didn't party. She didn't go out. She didn't live her 20s like a normal 20-year-old would. She made sure she was a mother first. So the autobiography of my mama, just seeing my mama really do that. And she got ridiculed, criticized. She's just going to be another statistic, blah, 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 her whole life. And then when I finally got there and made it, and she was like, see, that's what it was for, to see my sacrifices pay off. That was my biggest event.
Man, it sucks, huh? I didn't have none of that. I didn't have, like, my family upbringing wasn't like that. And so for me, I'm going to go completely different. The event for me was just watching how primetime Deion Sanders, the way he carried himself and the confidence that he played with and just the self-belief he had, and he showed it in everything he did, that for me was like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to have that type of confidence, that type of self-belief. Didn't have my pops, never met him. Mm. And my mom's wasn't nothing like that. So I didn't have any of those experiences at all.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. Deion Sanders, have you ever told him that?
Never.
Wow, he would be honored to hear that. That blows my... You just threw a real curveball. I wasn't expecting that.
20 gold chains on draft day. That's belief. On draft day.
Yeah. No, you got anything?
Yeah,
for me, it's... I would say a lot of my inspiration came from my peers. Even in high school, going to a predominantly Black high school at Warren Central, seeing the success of some of my best friends. You know, Sheldon was on the show. He's one guy, for example. A lot of close friends go to college, graduate from college, get that degree, go into the league or whatever area in life they went to and be successful. And from where we from, a lot of people don't come out and make it to college and do these things. So being amongst that group inspired me to keep grinding and keep, you know, chasing my dream.
I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. Time to put on our thinking cap.
Oh, yes, let's do
it. TJ Houspenzada and Sam Farmer of the LA Times are back. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Marcellus, here. So we're going to take a deeper look at a big issue in the world of sports. Darnell, bring in Marcellus's cap.
What's this nap town you speak of?
Do you have lenses in those glasses? Or
yeah. These glasses are fresh. Admit it. Admit it.
All right. Please. Let's move to football. The sport has been wading through a series of controversies in the last few years, from domestic violence to CTE to Colin Kaepernick, which some in the media have claimed damaged ratings in the game's public standing, but recent events say otherwise. NFL ratings were up this year. Heisman winner Kyler Murray just spurned baseball to pursue an NFL career, and the debut of the Alliance of American Football just tied a big NBA game in the ratings. As Giants co-owner Steve Tisch said, the new league's early success proves Americans want to watch football 52 weeks a year. All right, the question here, or the discussion here is football winning the war on football? And I think it is. I'm not surprised, because I think what we're learning about this social media era is that there will be a hysteria for 16 months, 24 months, maybe even 36 months. But eventually, the truth and common sense will win out. And I think some of the hysteria around the NFL has been orchestrated, and I think people are starting to figure it out that football is a dangerous sport, but it's not this life or death danger, and everybody that plays football is gonna have CTE and gonna have Alzheimer's, blah, blah, blah. So I think the hysteria is calming down, and people are just going back to football's a great game. It's the one game that every kid, fat, tall, smart, stupid, slow, fast, whatever, can play.
Yeah, well, preface it by saying if social media is your indicator, the loud minority, which social media really is, you're going to usually be thrown off from reality. Let's just be real about that. But I think right now you say the war on football. One, you need an adversary. You need an opponent. And I don't know who that is.
The media.
Okay, because football is king of all sports. Like, it's not basketball, it's not baseball, it's no other sport really rivaling football. But there is some infighting. There is some self-inflicted wounds, if you want to stay with the war example, a little friendly fire going on with football. For example, I'm a guy who played the game of football from the age 8 all the way to the age of 32. But I'm also a guy who's not going to allow my son to play until he could sit me down as a young teenager in high school, and then have that conversation about the good, the bad, and the ugly of football. And if he's ready for those rigors, and if he's ready to endure that course, yes, I will allow him. But that's already a change. Participation rates are down. Some say 20% nationally. There are cities that don't even have tackle football anymore at the youth level. Princeton, New Jersey is one. They just have flag football. I know a lot of my peers, the second generation of athlete that's coming, their children, we're not allowing them to play tackle football until necessary high school level. There are some issues with the game of football, but a lot of them are caused by the game of football. It's a violent sport. If you know what you're getting into, the incentives will shape your behavior. I'm not incentivized as a family to do the same thing I went through. My son doesn't have to go through. So there's a lot of people like me who are thinking like that. But the game of football is safe in terms of its growth, but it's not safe to play.
Right. I think that with the new round of owners, this next generation of owners, we're seeing football be more flexible in terms of making changes in the rules and everything. The panic that the sport was going to die from the roots up, which we're seeing, obviously, Pop Warner, high school football, less popular. I think it's overstated that's going to kill the game. You look at the ratings, you say it's king of all sports. It's king of all entertainment, really. Yeah. Top 38 of the top 50 programs this last year were football, NFL football. I think the Kyler Murray thing is sort of a data point. It's one in the win column for the NFL, but you can't extrapolate out that's how people feel about it. But I agree. I think football's certainly bounced back in a big way since last year.
Oh, but before we go to UTJ, how come we can't use Kyler Murray as an example? Here's a kid that had two awesome options. Hey, go play baseball. And yeah, that path to the big money's a little harder and longer, but it was still out there. Mm-hmm. And he chose football even at his size. I think that's a great example of just, again, I think people have been, the media has been trying to diminish football and try to tell us that it's not the most important sport or the values in football are terrible. I look at a kid like Kyler Murray that comes from a pretty solid family, had great options, and chose football over baseball. I think that's a big win for football.
It's not a little harder or longer. It's a lot harder and longer. And you look at Baker Mayfield and what he did in a very short period of time. Kyler Murray could spend the next 3-4 years on buses in the minor leagues till he is able to sort of make a name for himself.
That's my point. The war on football, football is winning. Anytime you get a kid that was drafted in the top 10 of the baseball draft and he chooses to play football, that's a big win in the column for football. It's football, number one, is exciting. It's fun. It galvanizes people. When a football game's on, you're like, we got to hurry up. We got to get home. This game about to start. And you don't do that for any other sport. You don't do that for any other. Football game comes on, we got to be home to watch it. Kyler Murray was just a top 10 pick. He'll arguably make, if his floor is Andy Dalton and his ceiling is Aaron Rodgers, he'll make more than any player in this baseball draft that was drafted with him by far. And so that
in
plays
the first 10 years. If those guys go on to be mega stars in baseball, one, that's, they give up
the guaranteed
contracts and they're huge.
That's a myth. If you look, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are the two best young players in baseball. They can't even sign a deal.
Now, but there are other stars that have signed a deal.
They can't even sign a deal.
But you got to respect the timeline. This is, you said it, inflection point for football. Win for football over baseball. Let's be real. When I first started playing football, everyone wanted to play baseball and basketball. We were just coming off everyone wanting to be a boxer. Boxing won the 60s and 70s. 6'4", 250, you're not playing DN because you got an off-season job. You're trying to be the heavyweight champion of the world. Then football starts to enter the conversation, but there was too much of disparity in the economics.
You look at it now.
So now baseball, in the early season, a 4-year, $32 million deal if you're Baker Mayfield, guess what? You're in the economic conversation with baseball.
You're in it. You're surpassed it.
Exactly. So now you're starting to see guys starting to say, I want to play football because the incentives shape the behavior. What football has to watch is all the infighting, all the issues, and then someone else has a competitive economic package that's a different sport. And please don't be the mindset that thinks you're too big to fail, because boxing thought that. And then now football could find itself in the same trappings if it doesn't address everything.
Yeah, where are the eyeballs going there now when you look at the numbers? It's football. Mm. Everything else is dwarfed by football. I think the Grammys, 5 times less than the Super Bowl in terms of the audience. And that wasn't even a great Super Bowl. State of the Union, it outdrew the State of the Union address, which was roadblocked on every channel, by double. People are watching football. Football is still king.
And to me, it was just like where I think the adversary to me has been the media. I'm about to say something about someone that I have a great deal of respect for, considering my friend, has always been good to me. But I just read a story about Bob Costas and him basically getting run off NBC. And to me, Bob represented, and I have a great deal of respect for Bob, but Bob's brand was baseball, and Bob, to me, was a part, maybe not intentionally, but unwittingly perhaps, a part of the media that wanted to bring football down a notch. There are some people that prefer a baseball as America's national pastime. Mm. The little Twitter world will try to convince you that basketball should be America's national pastime. I stand, and football is proving, it will not be shaken from its place. It is America's national pastime. The stakes of the game are higher. The values promoted in the game are more aligned, I believe, right or wrong, with American values. And that's the reason why it's the greatest television force, in my view. The game's just more compelling. But I'll just say that I read that Casas deal, and to me, I was reading, they're writing this sympathetic piece. Football's wrong for running Bob Casas out. And I read the piece, and I was like, look, man, the guy's passionate about baseball. He acknowledged in the piece he really didn't like football. And so my whole why was he the face of NBC's football broadcasting in the first place? And so I'm glad we moved on from that. And people that should be broadcasting football should actually love and care about the sport. And that doesn't mean you overlook everything.
Right.
But we got to move away from, like, football is the worst thing on the planet.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't go to that extreme. But you also can point out some of the issues, and hopefully that won't be taken to that extreme. The win column, Kyler Murray, we just said, for the game of football. Here's a loss, potentially. John Carlos Stanton, who's from Los Angeles, who was a three-sport athlete, and they said that the worst sport he participated in was baseball. But he looked at him and he said, he looked at his size and he's like, okay, I could be a football player pretty easily. I'm a talented guy. I could play the game of football. But let's go to baseball. He just signed a 10-year, $325 million contract. In part, he looks at baseball and sees the lack of athleticism in that sport and feels like he can exploit it. He did exploit it. There are a lot of kids
and who because still of have that deal, mindset. That's why Bryce Harper and Manny Machado can't get a deal, because they feel like they've regretted that deal.
Yeah.
And they're 26 years old, and football, when is a top free agent in football 2 weeks before training camp, which is 2 weeks before spring training, and he's unsigned?
No, that doesn't happen.
That's not going to happen.
But it happened in baseball, and it happened a little in the NBA last year. There's some pushback at the ownership level where they're all collective
but
saying,
let's
just
football
suppress
crazy. Salaries, they're rising every year. Baseball is pretty much hit a standstill. This is a financially driven thing, and Kyler Murray, he's a smart decision.
Move to the Knicks, who lost to the Cavaliers last night, extending their losing streak to 17 games, which is a franchise record for a single season. The Knicks now have the NBA's worst record at 10-46, and it appeared to be in full tank mode. But that hasn't stopped endless speculation that New York is a serious contender to land big free agent prizes like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I have an analogy here. Are the Knicks are becoming the Cleveland Browns, and David Fizdale is becoming Hugh Jackson.
Ooh.
And it to me, that. If I'm KD, do I want to join the Cleveland Browns and a team that this kind of long losing streak? I don't know.
I do know, and I actually think it's more attractive if you're a team like the Knicks who are losing. Give you a couple reasons. One, you're going to get something for all this losing. Your efforts will be rewarded in the lottery, hopefully high in the lottery. Two, I get to make impact as a prize free agent if I land there. Think about it. When LeBron went to Cleveland, instant impact. When Chris Paul went to Houston, we haven't went farther in the playoffs with you, Chris. Remember when Chris's contract was up? Should we pay Chris Paul at his age and we haven't done more? Kyrie Irving right now. We went to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without you, Kyrie. So what's this team mental dynamic looking like now with you, Kyrie? They will play you if you don't show impact. But KD to the Knicks in that losing capacity is going to show immediate impact and immediate results. To me, it's more attractive.
Immensely attractive, because you play in one of the most historic arenas in basketball. MSG is where people love to come and play.
Everybody loves to say that.
I know. I don't get it either.
I don't get it.
Because that's what some of the best performances are in MSG. It's a place where the most special things in basketball happen, because it's been around so long. You, as a kid, you grew up watching so many games go on MSG. All these other arenas have changed over time, but MSG has been the same. You have leadership in Fizz. Fizz is a coach that guys respect around the league.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Hugh Jackson. I think these guys
in 17 agency, in a row.
Yes, but that's on purpose. This is the Philly model right here. This is trust the process. This is Scott Perry pushing reset on an organization that had some tricky picks or didn't do great in free agency and didn't get the right assets to be able to trade later. So it's a situation where Scott Perry had a good pick in Kevin Knox. He has another pick coming up, 14% chance to get in the first round, the first pick overall. Yeah. So that's possibly Zion, if that is his fortune. They got two picks in the Porzingis trade. So it's a reset going on, and that Philadelphia model is what is looking like coming down the pipe with two max slots available.
Does Kevin Durant, and again, you're saying the Philly model, how long did the process take? Can Kevin Durant, do you want to be a part of a process?
Well, I think the guys now are looking at situations where we can grow, and it's more of a partnership. We can grow. This organization, I have input on the organization, input on who I get to play with, input on my surroundings. So this is a blank slate, like how LeBron James came to L.A. with a blank slate, young guys, assets, the ability to add more talent with the cap.
So that's they want to go what through what LeBron's like. Going through right now.
Yes, because you're not constructed according to the cap. You don't have guidelines that stop you from adding talent. So like going to Houston, it was just adding LeBron. You can't add anybody else because it was just over. Going to Philly, it's over. Once we get LeBron, now we got to pull some tricky trades and we're trying to move some people, but we're done at that point in time. Now I can add somebody that I want to play with. We have young talent coming down the pipeline. We have picks coming as well.
Yeah. So I think it's poetic for his narrative and his legacy in terms of, oh, y'all want to clown me for going out there and chasing the greats and winning rings with Golden State? Now let me go with these gumps and then make that something. And then everybody's going to say, which way is up with Kevin Durant in terms of what he chooses to do? Not trying for Zion is the smart play for the Knicks. Go try and get him or one of these top picks that are coming out. It reminds me, seriously, when we played, remember Bernie Kosar was amazing to me. Like, he was really good. But now if you look at people, revisionist history, they don't give him proper due. But everybody is sitting there in Cleveland saying, Baker Mayfield, because he took him from the bottom somewhere versus if you take him from the midpoint or higher.
But if you bring Cleveland, if you bring New York back to the top.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick. Uncle Jimmy.
Cube. Higher learning cube.
No, you look like the dude.
Super duper senior.
Super duper senior. Super senior.
You look like the dude from the Spike Lee's new movie, Black Klansman.
Yeah. John Washington. That's brother.
You look like that dude.
Hey, could have played it.
Let's see you play Uncle Jimmy right now.
Yeah.
I
can't wait to hear your take. Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about the symbol. Prince has a song about control that explains why this will never happen, but this is a family program and I can't use the title of the song here. Let's just say the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick won't be playing in the AAF because he and his handlers have no real interest in football. The interest is in protecting Kaepernick as a symbol, a brand.
Kaepernick shouldn't go out there in a resume building effort and play in the AAF. He is not in the NFL, and it's not because of a production issue. It's because of other issues.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Simple. Pretty simple.
All right, Uncle Jimmy. What? What's your take?
Why you got to bring Prince into this? Real talk. Why you got to bring Prince into this? Prince is the greatest of all times. Why you go there?
Oh, don't do this. We're going to get off the rails.
Is there anything sacred with you? That's the thing. Sacred with you?
Michael Jackson is the GOAT. Thank you. End of story. We're talking about the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick.
What he said.
Stay on topic.
Stay on.
First of all, I'm the one that told you Colin Kaepernick was a symbol. I told you Cap's the Confederate flag. He's not Prince. He's the Confederate flag. Cap is our international symbol saying that we want things to go back to the way they were.
Wait a minute. Go back to what?
Calm down, Merkulis. Calm down. Let me explain.
Explain.
Now, when you see a white person displaying the Confederate flag, don't you think that they're kind of saying that they want things to go back to the way they used to back in the South?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes. Absolutely.
So when you see Cap grow his hair out like Angela Davis, throw his fist in the air like UEP Newton. Now, be honest, don't you kind of think white people see that as Cap saying that he wants things to go back to like they did back in the 60s?
No.
Why? Cap don't talk. He ain't explaining himself. He's a symbol. Symbols are interpreted, Mark Ellis. It doesn't matter what you intend the symbol to say. It only matters how it's interpreted. Whether you like it or whether he likes it or not, Cap symbolizes the fact that we liked America better when the laws was more racist. When a black man couldn't even make a living playing in a sports league owned by white owners. Black players dominating America's national pastime, which is football, earning millions of dollars. That makes America look less racist. And that's not good. And this is the reason Cap stands in solidarity and he refuses to play. This is the reason.
So you agree with me, Cap really doesn't want to play football?
Hell to the no. I will never, ever, never, ever, ever agree with you on Colin Kaepernick. See, you think for some reason that football is important. Me and Cap know a little something you don't know. We know that it's more important to make America look racist. And this is why I love Cap and the Confederate flag. Symbols is important. Symbols is everything. Long live Cap. Long live the Confederate flag. This has been your Black History Moment.
You trying to expose the racism in sports? I'm going to go to my approval rating for Colin Kaepernick.
I got to digest that one.
In terms of job performance,
deep? Oh, deep.
I'm going to keep Cap at a 25. He's a great symbol.
Thank you.
Greatest symbol since.
How you going to change his
Since Prince. Yeah. All-time greatness, I'm going up a tick to an 11. Character and authenticity, I remain low.
Look at that.
Cap remains a dumpster fire at 39 despite ticking up 3 points. He's still a dumpster
fire. Very complimentary coming from you, Whitlock, to call him a dumpster fire.
That's up a little bit,
ain't
it?
That's up
a little bit, ain't it?
Oh, man. Job performance, I got him lower just because I'm still in the dark into exactly what he wants. But everything else stays the same because everybody talking about him, but he ain't talking, so why would I change his rating right there? Keep it the same, but still, Scout.
I wish I had this approval rating in the A block. You got him on the scout team.
Yeah, but it's the NFL, not AAF.